Hello and welcome to the Pulpiteer Podcast, an audio online ministry of Pastor Andy Kroll and St. John's Pilgrim United Methodist Church. You can visit us online at pilgrimumchurch.com, or you can visit my blog at thepulpiteer.com for more sermons and writing.
And man, there's a lot of you today. You know, one of the things that tells me it's full is not so much that we have people sitting outside there. It's the front rows are full. That's when you know it's serious. Like, that's when you know it's the real deal. So it's great to have you all here. And it is, this is the best reason to get together. I mean, this is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the best day of the year, and I'm so glad to be worshiping with you. And so we're going to get into that. We're going to look at Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 to 12 with you. Actually, I'm going to read the last part of the chapter 23. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandments. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified on the third day and rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they didn't believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw linen cloths by themselves, and he then went home amazed at what had happened. Go ahead and keep your Bibles open. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Almighty and everlasting God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be an acceptable sacrifice to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, like I said, it's a great day to be able to worship together, and this is my favorite day of the year, and this has been a big weekend around here. There's been a lot of stuff going on. So like last night we had a service where we had 19 people baptized, which was amazing. So here's the people, 19 people, and then the people supporting them, like family and stuff with them, all up in front. And we had like the sanctuary was full, and then we said, would people being baptized and folks with them come on up front? Half the congregation just came on up front. It was awesome. So we had 19 baptisms. We also had 16 people join the church, so we had a whole slew of other folks up there for that. It's been a ton of stuff going on, which has been great. We had a meal and a worship on Thursday. We had a special worship service on Friday, which was really wonderful and powerful. All of this stuff this week, all of this going on, because Easter is a really big deal. Like, it's the biggest deal. It is the center of our faith. The center of our faith is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I get really excited about it. I get kind of amped up. It's my favorite sermon to do. Every year it's my favorite sermon to do. I also feel the most pressure about doing it because I just want to share with you how big of news this is, how amazing this is, and how wonderful the resurrection is. And so I love to talk about it, and I want to try to talk about it clearly instead of just kind of blabbering up here, just to share the excitement of what it means for us that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And so I was trying to think about how am I going to get into this? You know, how am I going to get into? What am I going to talk about? And so I printed out the verses from Luke and started reading through them, memorizing them a bit to try and notice what was going on. And one of the first things I noticed was the reactions that happened that's kind of throughout the story, the reactions. So the women don't find the body, and so they are perplexed. They're kind of confused. They're wondering what's going on. The men hear the story from the women, and they hear the story, and it's so kind of fantastic, they just don't believe it. And then Peter ends up running to the tomb himself and seeing the empty tomb, and he ends up being amazed. We get these reactions, confusion, disbelief, amazement. These are the reactions that are running through the story. I wanted to kind of take a moment and kind of think about that. So what's going on? Well, why are the women perplexed? Well, that leads to the second thing that I found as I went through this. There's a bunch of contrasts going on. Like, there's contrast. And so you see contrasts like, on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb. And they found the stone had been moved, but when they went inside, they did not find the body. So they found the stone, but they did not find the body. See the contrast there, and but separates the contrast. They found the stone rolled, they did not find the body, and but separates that. And then you go and they hear from the angels, the men in dazzling white, and they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Which is an awesome first line for anyone entering into the scene, right? Why do you look for the living among the dead? And it says, "He is not here, but has risen." Awesome contrast. He's not here in the grave, but he has risen. So we have these contrasts. They are the butts of Easter, which I thought would have been... I didn't title the sermon that because I wanted to behave, so I was good. Didn't even bring it up, barely. And so, but yes, that contrast. And you see, you see what's happening with that contrast, though, right? Everything is heading one direction, and it's not a good direction. Everything is heading a bad direction, but then Easter happens. Everything's heading a negative way, but then Easter happens. Jesus was killed. Jesus was in the tomb. Things were hopeless. But then, Easter. And so you get these Easter contrasts that are throughout the story. Jesus was crucified, but God raised him. Jesus' body was in the tomb, but then it was gone. And by the way, the whole thing about his body being raised and being gone, that's an important point. His body was physically raised. And I bring this up every year. It's an important thing to know because sometimes, man, there's even scholars that don't even believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, which is insane. But sometimes people get confused about what the resurrection means. And sometimes people will say, well, the resurrection means that, well, his body was dead, but maybe his spirit was just alive elsewhere. And that's what resurrection means. Well, here's the thing. If the body is dead and the spirit is elsewhere, we already have a name for that. It's called being dead. Think about it, right? If the body's there and the spirit's elsewhere, that's what happens when you die. Resurrection means he came back to life. The tomb was empty because the body wasn't there. The body wasn't there. Everything's moving this one tragic direction, but then Easter happens. You get this contrast. And so because of that, the women were confused. They were perplexed. They weren't sure what to make of things. And so I was thinking about, again, these emotions. So you have this big contrast, this big turn of events, and then the emotions from that, the women being perplexed and confused. And I was thinking, you know, I was imagining, you know, this being confused around the grave, being confused around the tomb. And it actually brought to mind grief and being perplexed at the graveside and just kind of the stages of grief. You've probably heard of the stages of grief. It comes from the work of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on grief and dying. And you know, it's up there, I was going to ask you. You probably know the first stage of grief. You've probably heard of the first stage of grief, right? Which is denial. Denial is the first stage of grief. And what denial is it's a defense mechanism. It's a defense mechanism because it's like your mind literally cannot accept this tragic turn of events that has happened. And so it can only, it's like you can't wrap your head around it. You can't even understand what's going on right now. And it's a defense mechanism because your psyche is trying to deal with this avalanche of hurt or sorrow or brokenness, this sudden turn of events that is kind of tearing down your world. And so as a protection, your mind only lets in a little bit at a time. And the result of that is you have trouble kind of understanding at first what is actually going on. It's a defense mechanism. Now, many of you, I'm sure, have experienced this. Many of you have heard news in person or received a phone call that has literally changed everything. And I was thinking about that, too. I've, you know, of course, received that news in many different ways. And I was thinking about one instance. I remember when I heard about the death that was for one of the hardest funerals I've ever done. And the young man's mom called me from the hospital and said, "There's been an accident," and that he died. And as she told me that, I literally couldn't understand what she was saying. I was just trying to understand. She was speaking clearly. She was using the right words, but it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. And I couldn't wrap my head around what was going on. Things were going just fine, and then death struck. I mean, I was just sitting there watching TV, and then you get a phone call. Things were going just fine, and then death struck. And the first stage of grief is denial. Now, this gets into how we deal with death and how we handle things. Many people deal with death by making peace with it, by trying to rationalize it, trying to make sense of it. And we try and tell ourselves if we can figure out why this happened or what exactly is going on, then maybe we're safe. And so we'll say, well, he died because it must have been his time. It was just his time, so that's why he died. Or we explain it by saying, well, he died because he was doing something wrong, and if we just don't do something wrong, then we won't die, but he was doing something wrong, so he died. Or he died because, well, God just needed him more than we do. And we find these ways to kind of rationalize. But I want you to notice something. This is very important about the Easter story. Easter does not give us a story that makes peace with death at all. Easter does not give us a story that makes peace with death. Easter is about the complete annihilation of death. Easter is about death's defeat, not its explanation. Easter is the defeat of death. And that is why it's wonderful news. It's the best news because it's not saying, hey, this is why you've tragically lost someone that you really love. This is why the world won't make sense anymore. Well, let me make sense of it for you. Even that person's gone. No, Easter is about that horrible thing, that enemy of death that comes. It's about it being defeated by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it's awesome news. And so as I read through this gospel story, and I notice that these women were perplexed, and I notice that the men, when they received this news, they didn't believe, it reminded me of the first stage of grief, which is denial. But there's a difference here, because with denial coming in a stage of grief, you have everything's going fine, and then something tragic happens, and there's a 180 going the other way, and you're trying to deal with this horrible news. This is the exact opposite. Everything's going horribly. Their Lord, their teacher, their friend had been crucified by the Romans. They thought he was going to save Israel, and he was killed. He was turned over by his own people. Everything was going horribly, and then Easter happened, and now they're trying to grasp what exactly is going on. The issue was everything was going horribly, but then the resurrection. And it's kind of like in the resurrection, I want you to think about this, in the resurrection, death starts to reverse itself. And since death is reversing itself and becoming undone, it's like you have to, the stages of grief have to work backwards and you're finding your way out. This is an amazing thing. Death is being undone by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the message of Easter, that death is undone by Jesus Christ. That's why we have to celebrate today like no other. That's why we baptize folks, and that's why we take in members. That's why we cook special meals and worship so many days this week. That's why we sing hallelujah and praise God, because death has been undone by our Lord Jesus Christ. And just consider how drastically things changed. Just consider how drastically things were reversed. So we'll look at a couple things, because there are some things around the Easter story that the entire meaning of these particular things was absolutely changed as a 180. And this is a way for us to understand that death is being undone by Jesus. I mean, just as we see the women are trying, they're like going backwards through grief. Now, instead of like having denial about something horrible that happened, they're in denial about something amazing that's happened, because they're just trying to wrap their heads around this change of events, and it's like going backwards through grief. Death is being undone. So we'll look at this. So first I want to look at is the tomb. We look at the tomb. So the tomb was where Jesus' body was held. The women were going to the tomb because they had spices to anoint the body because he was dead. So the tomb was a place for the dead. But the resurrection happened. And so now the tomb is no longer a place that holds the dead. Now a tomb is a witness to the living Christ. Now the tomb is where Peter went to figure out what the heck was going on, and he saw that Jesus was gone. Now the tomb is a place that testifies to the life of Jesus Christ. It's been, instead of testifying to the death of Jesus, now the tomb testifies to the life of Jesus. That's a 180-degree turn, right? In fact, tombs have changed. Christian Easter people have done crazy things around this. I was researching in the past couple weeks, because I don't know if you know this about me. I'm not a morning person, because I'm normal. I'm sane. I thank God for you morning people. You get the world going before I get up, so thank you. I'm not a morning person, and one of the things that churches do on Holy Week is they have these weird things called sunrise services. Terrible, terrible idea, isn't it? Get up to watch the sunrise? Why would you do that? And so trying to figure out, how did this start? Whose bad idea was this? And I looked, and one of the ways it started was actually pretty awesome. It actually, I almost did this. This is how inspired, I almost did it. That's nice, Andy. Tell you how moving this is, I almost did something about it. Anyway, It was in the Moravian Revival. There was like a 100-year revival for the Moravian Christian community in Germany in the 1700s, and this was 1732, I believe, when this happened. They had an all-night Easter service, Saturday night, all the way until it got to be Sunday morning. And then they did this. This is awesome. A bunch of men got together before the sun rose, and they marched down to the graveyard. And they marched in the graveyard so they could sing hymns of praise to God as the sun rose upon the graves. That's an Easter story. That's what Easter people do, because they're looking at these tombs in a different way. It's been completely transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now they are proclaiming the resurrection to the dead because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who has defeated death. That's an awesome thing. That's the tomb. Next, consider how the cross was transformed. It's an amazing thing, too. The cross was an instrument of torture. It was an instrument of Roman oppression. If you were crucified, it was to send a message. The Romans were sending a message, don't do what this guy did or this will happen to you. And so it's this symbol of death and torture and horrible death. But now, 2,000 years later, halfway across the world in a different culture and a different language, if you go all around this country, for example, you will find buildings everywhere with a cross in them, and that's crazy. But why do we have the cross in them? Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, the cross, the meaning of the cross changed. And instead of being a symbol of oppression and death and torture, it became a symbol of God's love for us and the forgiveness of our sins. That's a 180 change. The resurrection of Jesus Christ happened, and the cross was forever changed. Death was being undone. Or if you look at the wounds of Jesus Christ, the nail marks in his hands and his feet, the mark in his side, those wounds, you know, as they pulled that body down from the cross and they laid him down, these were the wounds that testified to what killed him. They were wounds of death and of torture. But then Jesus was raised from the dead and those wounds transformed. And you remember the story of Doubting Thomas, right? And when Doubting Thomas was there and Jesus came back, what did he say to him? Put your hands in my wounds. He didn't even have to do that. He just saw them and what happened to Thomas. He proclaimed my Lord and my God. These wounds, which were signs of the death of Jesus Christ, but then Jesus was raised from the dead and now those wounds give faith to people who don't even have faith. That's a 180-degree turn. Death is being undone by Jesus Christ. And so we see it in all sorts of stuff like this. It looked like, you know, on Good Friday, it looked like our sin was greater than God's love. But then Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and it's love and goodness and truth that are victorious. It looked like death was the great conqueror. But then Jesus broke the gates of Hades, set the prisoners free, kicked death in the teeth, and rose again. Now death is a defeated enemy. I mean, do you dare to believe such good news as this, that in the resurrection, death was undone? Because that's the Easter message. That's why I get so excited, and that's why we do all these services. It's an amazing thing. We are not called to understand some special meaning in death itself. Instead, we are called to praise God at death's demise. We are called to sing about the resurrection in the graveyard. We are not called to tell mothers who lost a child that God needed another angel in heaven. Instead, Easter commands us to tell them that someday our Lord Jesus Christ will return and mothers will receive back their dead. We are supposed to tell them that God is not in the business of justifying death. He is in the business of undoing it, that God raises the dead. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you." Do you understand what that's saying? That if you have faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, if that spirit that dwells in you is the same that dwells in Christ, then the same one who gave life to Jesus' dead body will give life to ours. Like, that's our hope. What happened to Jesus' body can happen for yours because God raises the dead. Death is being undone and has been undone in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a, excuse me, in J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, it's a part towards the end of this great sweeping story where Samwise Gamgee, he's a hobbit, he's a character, he's a hobbit, okay? And so he's there and he sees Gandalf, which is a wizard. And Sam had thought that Gandalf had been killed. And so he has this awesome quote there where he says, "Gandalf, I thought that you were dead. But then I thought I was dead myself." And then he says, "Is everything sad going to come untrue? Is everything sad going to come untrue?" That is the future that the resurrection of Jesus Christ points to. Think about what that means for your life. Do you believe in a God that can raise the dead? Look at Jesus' resurrection story and think about that. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What does the resurrection point to? We see the first signs in Jesus' resurrection of death being undone. And so, church, if we believe in a God who undoes the effects of sin and death, what should our business be? I mean, if we believe in a God who raises the dead, if we believe in a God who redeems sinners, if we believe in a God who utterly transforms hearts and minds, then shouldn't we be in the business of transformation too? I mean, at the end of the day, don't you just look around and say, isn't there enough brokenness now? Like, can't that be enough? Isn't there enough hurt and heartache? Isn't there enough folks who need the word of the grace of God? Isn't there some transformation and some reconstruction that needs to happen? Like, if God is really in the business of undoing the effects of death, and if God is really in the business of transforming lives, then don't we look around and say, hey, I kind of want to be a part of that? Like, isn't there enough hurt and heartache to where we can say, I want to be on God's team to send that the other direction? I want to be a part of the work of a faithful God who loves his creation and loves his creation enough that he came here to rescue it and to undo the effects of sin and death. I think we should be in the business of transformation too. That's why we baptize. That's why we send missionaries to other countries. That's why we do missions down the road to our neighbors. That's why we serve. That's why we give. We do this because we believe in a God who makes all sad things untrue. And if we are on God's team, then that's our business as well. So we spread his message any way we can. That things looked bad, sin looked victorious, but then Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Glory, hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.